Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So we continue to read Luisa, sleeping in the arms of Jesus, or resting in the arms of Jesus. And in this time when, in this new year, we want to get closer and closer to Jesus, closer and closer to Mary, in this great gift of the divine will. So we begin again on volume 12, February 14th, 1912. In my will, all things hold each other's hands, all look alike and are all in accord. So here is Jesus is saying that when we enter into the divine will, we begin to possess this gift of the divine will, where everything is one with God. Everything is fused with God. Everything is in accord with God. There's no discord. There's no out of order. Everything is perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect happiness, which is heaven. And this is what Jesus is asking us to begin to live. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness in all situations. So he says, when we enter into God's will, we are one with God. And this is living in the divine will. The saints learned how to do the will of God, and now Jesus is going to the next step of living in the divine will. And this is a time of sanctity. So he says, therefore, suffering gives its place to pleasure, and says, I, suffering, have done my part on the will of God. Now you do yours. Okay, so here... No matter what we're going through, suffering or joy, suffering is to be one with Christ crucified. The more that we are with one with Christ crucified, the happier we become. And in suffering, it's not that we enjoy suffering, but we say to Jesus, "You come down from the cross for just a minute, and I'll take your place." None of us have suffered like Jesus. Jesus, as Son of God, suffered ultimately. And so what Jesus says is, whether you are suffering or pleasure, either suffering or pleasure will say, I've done my part in the will of God, now you do yours. And only if Jesus wants it will I enter the field again. So all of us are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. All of us are going through this suffering. And yet Jesus is saying, this is part of your cross, part of your life that the Lord wants us to begin to possess. He wants us to possess this so that we can be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. So fervor says to coldness, you will be more ardent than me if you content yourself with staying in the will of my eternal love. So here, the Lord is showing us that once we are in agreement with him, our Lord God Almighty, no matter what we're going through, there is peace, joy, and happiness. This peace, joy, and happiness is heaven on earth. No matter if you are, as he says, have great fervor or coldness. The fervor says to this coldness, you will be more ardent than me if you content yourself with staying in the will of my eternal love. So coldness can be even more magnificent than fervor, this love that you have for God. Prayer to work, sleep to vigil, illness to health, everything, all things among themselves, it seems that each one leaves its place to the other to be present in the field, to be present in our life. Through each one has its own distinct place. So there's sunrise and sunset, there's cold, there's warm, there's snow, there's rain, there's dry, there's heat. All of this is part of what God has given to us. And he's always testing us to see if we can give our fiat in all situations. A lot of people say, they want this one way of life. And when they don't have it, they become miserable. So often I've heard people say, why me? Why do I have to go through this? And it's part of the cross that God has given us. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the Son of God, the Mother of God, chose poverty. They chose hiddenness. They chose silence. 30 years, Jesus was silent to the world. Our Lady treasured all these things in her heart. And yet they were filled with joy, filled with happiness. And when Jesus went out for those last 3 years of his life to proclaim the kingdom, he was rejected, misunderstood, abandoned, spit upon, laughed at, and crucified. This is what happens with us as well. And Jesus says, how are you embracing this negativity that's all around you, as Jesus did? How are you giving your fiat to situations that are not pleasant? You know, Jesus, in the 24 hours of the Passion, when we read it, Jesus embraced his cross. He kissed his cross. A lot of times what happens on earth is people drag their cross behind them, you know, complaining and being negative, worried, fear, anxious, complaining, negative, and sin. And that's not following the holy humanity of Christ. And in order to share in divinity, we have to embrace the holy humanity of Christ. We have to begin to live everything one with Christ. And that's why Jesus said to Louisa, I want you to become my skin. I want to gaze in your gazing. I want to listen in your listening. I want to speak in your speaking. See, he says the senses were made for God. And God wants to use these senses to the five senses in order to bring us one with him. To the peace, the joy, the happiness of heaven. And our Lord is looking at us. He's testing us in this new year. He's going to ask us to embrace heaven. He's going to ask us to embrace the kingdom. And the great blessings are really at hand. I know Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand. He said that 2,000 years ago to his apostles and disciples. But today, it's here. How do we know it's here? Because God has given us the book of heaven. And when we read the book of heaven, when we study the book of heaven, when we put this into practice, great things are occurring. Now, for example, Our Lady of Good Success, or another truer expression of that is Our Lady of the Great Event of the Purification. If you think about this, the purification, the presentation is February 2nd. What's this great event that Our Lady said is going to happen? She said this 400 years ago, Our Lady of Good Success, Our Lady of the Great Event. What happened? On the Feast of the Presentation. What happened on that day in 1996, where the writings of Louisa were released from the Vatican. And Jesus said, when the writings come out, the face of the earth will be transformed. This is a promise of Jesus. This is a manifestation of Jesus to Louisa. So when this happened, the prophecy of Our Lady 400 years ago, Our Lady of Good Success, has been fulfilled. Now, nobody knows about it. Why? It's just like Bethlehem. What God does, he keeps secret. He keeps hidden. And so what happened at Bethlehem? No priest showed up. No scribes or Pharisees, no Sadducees showed up to honor Christ, to welcome Christ. But a few wise men and a few shepherds, that's it. It's secret. It's hidden. And this is how God works. In our own life, there's things in our own life that God is using to bring us closer to him. And it's secret, it's hidden. And as we get closer to Jesus, as we get closer to the Blessed Mother, Jesus reveals to us what he did in our lives, what he allowed in our lives to happen in order to draw us closer to him. And when we get to heaven, we're going to thank God for all eternity, for all that we've gone through, the good, the pleasure, and the suffering. Because we will realize that if we didn't go through this suffering, we would not be where we are today. But he uses tragedies, he uses difficulties in order to bring us closer to him. And that's what he wants. What happened in 1997? Our Lady said to Father Gobi, everything is completed. How can everything be completed? Because in 1996, the Book of Heaven came out of the Vatican. And there was at least one prayer group in the world, and that was Acuña's prayer group in Mexico City, who read all 36 volumes. They already had read 1 through 19 in Italian, and now they have 20 through 36. So by a year later, Our Lady says, everything is completed. What is done? She says to Father Gobi that the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary will begin in Mexico City. It happened. When everyone in Acuña's prayer group was reading and studying and putting into practice this gift of the divine will with the 36 volumes, it was completed. Now it's not done, but what's done is this: finally, there was a group of people that were drawing closer to the image and likeness of God. That's the Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is to be like her son, image and likeness. And it began in Mexico City, and that's why Our Lady said to Father Gobi, it's completed, it's started, it's begun. It hasn't got the fulfillment of it yet, because we really have to get into study. We really have to get into reading and praying and practicing what Jesus taught Luisa. All the knowledges that he gave to Luisa, all the manifestations that he gave to Luisa, all the promises that he gave to Luisa, we want to enter into. And this is why we read the Book of Heaven. You know, this is a glorious time to be alive. And we have to also understand that the Lord gave the evil one 100 years. And that was the vision of Pope Leo XIII. And that 100 years seems to be over. And what we see happening is as you would step on the head of a snake, as Our Lady steps on the head of the snake, the serpent, you know, he's going wild and crazy, insane. Why? He knows he's going to be crushed. So what we're going through today, you have to rejoice in the fact that the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is here because of God has given us the Book of Heaven. How and the why this is going to happen. So what he tells us today is everything is in the plan of God, whether you're have pleasure or whether you are suffering. And our response to God is fiat. It's Our Lady's response. Our Lady said, when the angel said, you'll be the mother of God, she says, how can this be? I want to please God, but I don't know how this is going to happen. I've already promised a life of virginity. And the angel said, it be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, fiat mihi, I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done as you say. You, Lord, are in charge of my life. Fiat mihi, let it be done as you wish. So it's the same thing for us. We learn from our Lord and our Lady how to say fiat. This is what they taught Luisa, the fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign on this earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. May your kingdom be manifested. May your kingdom be magnified in us. So that's why he's saying this very clearly. Whether it's prayer to work, sleep to vigil, illness to health, everything, all things among themselves, it seems that each one leaves its place to the other to be present in the field, to be present in our lives, what we do, what we grow in our lives. Through each one, it has its own distinct place. So then Jesus says, so it is not necessary for one who lives in my divine will to move in order to place herself in the act of doing what I, God, want. See, Jesus is reigning in us. When we're baptized, we enter into God's image. Now with the book of heaven, we are going to enter into God's likeness. This is what God has planned. And he's asking us to give our fiat in all situations. When you wake up in the morning, you know, when you stub your toe, when you are late for an appointment, whatever, everything is fiat. Everything is yes. Everything is, I want what you want, Lord. You're in charge of my life. You're my king. You're my savior. You're my master. You're my God. You're my all. Whatever you want is what I want. That peacefulness, as Jesus says, proves that I am with you. If you're not peaceful, he says, I can't be there. He says, I'm not going to enter a place where that's not like me. We have to be peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations. And this is what Jesus is asking of us. This is resting in the arms of Jesus. I trust you so much. I believe in you so much that what I'm going through right now is what you want. Fiat, Lord. Let it be done as you wish. Our Lady's response, I am the slave girl of the Lord. I have no rights to myself. Let it be done as you wish. When we learn this gift of gifts, when we learn to practice what Jesus taught us, little by little, we're going to enter into the fullness. So when that day occurs, when that new day of the divine will happens, when everyone will enter into this gift, we will recognize that it was because of the fiat. It was because of our yes to God in all things. And so God is going to test us. He's going to see whether or not we can say fiat. And when we fail, God says, okay, you got to strive a little harder, read a little more. I'm going to show you how to do this. And as we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, great things begin to occur in our life and in the world around us. Because it's being magnified. It's God is reigning. Volume 12, July 23rd, 1912. Ah, my daughter, let me do. And this is our God. Let me do this. You can't do this. Let me do this in you. And when we realize that doing the will of God is building churches, doing the will of God is building schools, building orphanages, building hospitals. Why? This is the time of redemption where we try to follow the holy humanity of Christ. Okay? But to live in the will of God is more than doing. It's not us doing anymore. It's God doing this. So he says, you can't do this. You can't sanctify yourself. You can be good and holy and saintly on a human level, but to sanctify yourself, Jesus says, I must do this. So he says this, let me do this. Don't worry about this. I'm going to do this. What did St. Louis de Montfort say? St. Louis de Montfort said, in the final days, there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. That's the divine will. God gave him a hint of what was coming. It's God doing this. God wants to sanctify us. We have striven to be holy, to be good, to be saintly for the last 2,000 years. And now Jesus is saying, you have proved to me that you want this Catholic life. You have proved to me that you are good at praying the prayers of the saints. You're good at this. Now he says, now is the time that I want to sanctify you. So he basically says, get out of the way. Let me do this and watch what I, God, can do for you. So I have more trust in God giving me the divine will than me trying to become a saint. I'm a failure at it. I can't become a saint. I've been striving all my life to become a saint. I'm terrible at it. But I know that God is going to let me share in divinity because he is going to do it. My trust is in him. My confidence is in him. And that's what we have to get to. Jesus says, just read, study, and let me show you what I am going to do with, in, through, and for you as you have been doing everything with, in, through, and for me. It's really a new beginning. So he says, whether I have to keep you awake or asleep, let me do this. So even in sleeping, when you say at night, I want to sleep in the divine will, I want to rest in the divine will. Jesus, sleep in my sleeping, dream in my dreaming. Lord Jesus, reign in me while I sleep. You know, we're giving Jesus the freedom to be Lord of our life. He's not going to take it from us. He always asks, what do you want? See, that's the most terrifying thing of our free will. God has to give us what we want. And that's the saddest thing. Because what we want should be what God wants. And if we are truly trying to live in the divine will, we say, let it be done as you say. I want what you, God, want. I want nothing on my own. I only want what you, Lord God Almighty, want for me. See, it's Jesus said to Louisa that he's going to make this little children of the Holy Divine Will, each soul a divine masterpiece, unique in all the world, because he loves us so much that he wants us to begin to live this abundant life, one with him, fused with him, never to be separated from him. So say, for example, you're a canvas and you're in a studio and there's a great artist there. And the great artist says, I'm going to make a masterpiece out of this nothing. There's nothing there, and I'm going to make a masterpiece. And he works on it. Now, if the canvas says, no, I don't want to be stretched. No, I don't want you to paint me. No, I'm going to do what I want to do. The artist, the master, won't be able to do a thing. So that's why Jesus says, he says, let me do this. He says, whether you're awake or asleep, let me do this. I am your Lord. I'm your master. I'm your king. I'm your savior. I'm your God. Let me, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, do this for you. Because this is what I've called you to become. This is what I want you to be. That's what Our Lady did. She surrendered. The 14-year-old girl said to God, let it be done as you wish. That's what we have to learn. Louisa, the same thing. When she was 17, the Lord said to her, go to bed and stay there. She said, okay. Which one of us would have done that? See, we have to learn from Jesus, Mary, and Louisa how to do this. Louisa possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. The saints possessed a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary. What God wants is, as Jesus as the new Adam, Mary as the new Eve, what God wants is the kingdom to be established on earth as it is in heaven, in her as it is in heaven. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn of the divine will. And when we say fiat to God, when we say yes to God, how great that is. Why? God is going to do it. God is going to do it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do anything. That's because people say, well, you don't do anything. You just leave it up to God. No, it's always fiat. You stub your toe, fiat. You get sick, fiat. You are good at running, fiat. You're good at dancing, fiat. It's always let it be done as you wish, Lord. Total surrender, total docility. That's what God is waiting for from each and every one of us. Did you not tell me to do with you whatever I wanted? Now, that's a question to Louisa, but it's also a question to us. Did you not tell me to do with you whatever I, God, wanted to do with you? Have we surrendered to God? Have we turned to Jesus and say, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, I'm nothing, I surrender completely to you, do with me as you wish? Have we done that yet? Have we done that for the new year? Have we consecrated ourselves to Jesus and Mary? Have we said to Jesus and Mary, I want to be totally yours. Whatever you want, I want. And God goes, do you really mean it? And then they'll test us. What about this situation? Are you going to become worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative? Or are you going to say, Lord, whatever you want is what I want? See, that docility, that surrender, that submission is what Our Lady did, is what Louisa did. And this is what God is asking of us. Are you willing to trust me? Jesus, I trust in you. Are you willing to have confidence in me? That's what Jesus is asking. And then he says, do you perhaps want to withdraw your word? And Jesus is asking us in every situation, are you upset? Are you upset right now? Have you withdrawn your word to me? I can do whatever I want with you? See, it's not what God wants to do with us is bring us so close to him that we share in divinity. That's why the priest every day puts the drop of water in the chalice, the drop of nothing into the chalice filled with wine. And that drop of water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. Sharing, this is why he says, sharing in divinity. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants us to be so close to him that we can participate in the image and likeness of God. He's not a mean God. He's a glorious God. Pure love. That's our God. And if we don't know how much God loves us, it's because we haven't meditated on Christ crucified. We don't know Christ crucified. If you want to know who God is, spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. If you want to know who God is, look at our Eucharistic Lord and fall in love with our God. Spend time in front of the monstrance every day. Not just once a week, but every day, spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Falling in love with God. And then you're going to know how wonderful, how magnificent he is, how spectacular he is. But if we don't do that, we complain against God. We say, why me? Why me? Why Jesus? He did this, took our place, shed every drop of his blood for us. So he says this to Louisa. Did you perhaps want to withdraw your word? And Louisa says, never, O Jesus. I'd rather I fear that I've become bad. Because of this, I feel I am in this bad state. The wonderful thing about our God is when you make a good act of contrition for a venial sin, you're forgiven. When you receive Holy Communion at Mass with a venial sin, you are forgiven. Now, with serious sin, you go to confession. And as you are on this journey of getting closer and closer to Jesus, confession becomes essential. Why? Because Jesus is stripping us of everything that is not of God. Our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. He's stripping us of that. He says, you don't need this anymore. I'm here for you. I'm going to take care of you. Let me do this. Don't get in the way. So when we go to confession and we make this part of our Catholic life, what happens at that point is Jesus starts cleaning out. It's like a grocery store filled with cans. All the aisles are filled with cans of goods. And when you go to confession, at first you take, well, I did this and I did this and I did this and I'm really sorry. And then the Lord taps us on the shoulder and he goes, look behind there. And you go, oh, and I did this and I did this and I did this. And you go, and God goes, there's another shelf. And you go, oh, I didn't even see it. And I've done, see, it's like sifting dirt. You might not have the large rocks that are gone. You have 10 bigger or smaller stones that you have to sift. And then there's 1,000 smaller stones that you have to sift through. You see, Jesus wants to make us pure dirt, so that he can plant in us his crop. He has great plans, but we have to go through our life like with a fine-tooth comb in order to be ready for the Lord to help us become what he has planned. So confession is very, very important. A lot of people just, it's the same sins, same sins, the same sins. And they go, well, I've had people say to me, I'm not too bad this week. God alone is holy. God alone is good. It's not that we go to confession and go, I'm terrible, I'm awful, I'm terrible. No, it's God is holy. I am not. God is strong. I am weak. God is all knowing. I know nothing. It's to always point to who God is, not how great he is, not how miserable we are. But we have to recognize our misery in order for him to reflect his light in us. This is what God has planned. So Jesus says, and Jesus said, listen, my daughter, is it perhaps some thought, some affection, or a desire which is not for me that has entered into you? Now that question is good for us when we go to confession. If you haven't seen how to go to confession through the 24 hours of the Passion, that's on the internet. How to go to confession. When you go through the 24 hours of the Passion, Jesus is speaking to us and he's saying, what about this? What about that? And if when you go through the examination of conscience through the 24 hours of the Passion, you begin to understand God wants us filled with peace, joy, and happiness. So there's no room for worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. No room for complaints anymore. No room for negativity anymore. He says, is it perhaps some thought, affection, desire, which is not for me, has entered into you? If this were the case, you should fear, but it is not. It is a sign that I, God, keep your heart in me and I make it sleep. So here, this is the resting in God. The resting in God, Jesus says, is doing everything for God's glory and the salvation of souls. That's what God is looking for. And if there is something in us that has entered into us, some thought, some affection or desire, which is not from God, he says, you have to get rid of that. Go to confession. And he says, but to you, Louisa, you should fear if that was the case. but it is not. It's not the case with you, Louisa. Now, Jesus shows us this so that we can begin to understand who Louisa is. Louisa went to confession, Jesus says. She went to confession to Jesus, and she took 7 hours to confess her sins. 7 hours to confess her sins. And she says what her greatest sin was. Her greatest sin was wanting to be a nun and help people rather than being in bed. She says, Jesus, in bed, I'm doing nothing. I'm helping nobody. There's nobody that I'm helping. I want to be a nun so that I can go out and help people. That was her greatest sin. What was that sin? Not obeying Jesus. Jesus said to her, I want you to be in bed. And then he tells Louisa, what you were doing is for the world. Your suffering is to be for the world, for all mankind to have the opportunity to enter into the kingdom, if they wish, if they want. But her greatest sin was saying to Jesus, I don't want to be here. I want to be out helping people. And she was in confession for 7 hours to Jesus. It gives us a glimpse of who Louisa is and who we are. You know, God has great plans, and he's asking us to agree to have this happen. So he says this, the time will come, it will come when I will have it wake up. Then you will see that you will take the attitude of before, since you will have been at rest in God. This attitude will be even greater. So Jesus is saying to Louisa, I'm letting you rest now in me. No matter what we're going through, rest in Jesus. Trust Jesus. Confidence in Jesus. You know, this is what God's going to do. He's not going to push us to the limit. That's not our God. He says to us, I want you to rest in me. So when we go to Holy Communion every day, when we receive Eucharist every day, pray those 6 steps that Our Lady taught Louisa in the first 6 days of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. Pray those 6 steps at communion time of dying to your ego and your will, to dying, not to give life any longer to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. See, what's coming is eternal life on earth as it is in heaven. That's why Our Lady of Good Success, of the great event of purification, what's going to happen is the kingdom is going to be here on earth as it is in heaven. And then at that point, there's new heavens and the new earth. What's coming is very, very close. Give you another hint. Conchita said last March, this virus will prepare the world for the warning. More than likely, she said. More than likely. Now, why would Conchita Garabandel say that? Because the miracle is supposed to happen in March, April, or May. Okay? Conchita is the only one who knows the day of the miracle. She also said, when 2 stars seem to crash into each other, it's a sign that the warning is very close. What happened on December 21st with Jupiter and on Saturn? It looked like the 2 stars merged. So, all I'm saying is, it seems to me, and Conchita is 72 years old, or she's probably 73. You have to understand, we're very, very close. 73 years ago, is when Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. The kingdom is coming. We should be dancing with joy as we read the book of heaven, knowing Jesus is explaining to us what this kingdom is all about and how he is asking us, out of all the people in the world, from the beginning of time to the end of time, he's asking us to pray with Louisa to bring that kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said to Louisa, there's no greater mission on earth than this. To work with Louisa to call the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is where we are. And then he added, I, God, make souls of all kinds. I make the one sleepy with love, the ignorant of love, the crazy of love, the learned of love. That's us. He's asking us to fall in love with love, God. But all of this, do you know what interests me the most? Everything be love. That's the divine will. The divine will is the kingdom of love being established on earth as it is in heaven. It's diving into the infinite ocean of love and never coming out. What our God is asking is that we become one with him, fused with him and the divine will. That's what he taught Louisa. Louisa wanted nothing else but oneness with God, fusion with God. She wanted nothing but the love of God. She says, without you, I have no life. Without you, I have no heartbeat. Without you, I have no breath. That's love. She participated in God. She entered into the image and likeness of God, the firstborn, the newborn. And now Jesus is offering this to us. God is asking us, do you want this? This new year, again, make a commitment to read at least a half an hour a day. Make the commitment to dive into the infinite ocean of God's love and never surface. To enter into, he says, that everything be love. Entering into God. Participating in God. Anything else which is not love is worth not even a glance. So what is God doing? Everything of the earth, that of the fallen state, is worthless. It's useless. Jesus is saying, let go of everything so there's no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more doubts, no more negativity, no more sin. Enter into this life, he says, and watch what I'm going to do. If you want, I will make you what I want, Jesus says, a divine masterpiece. God's got great plans, great plans. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be anxious about. God is asking us to be one with Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn, so that we also can have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Everything is ready. Everything is ready. We have to get ready. So we'll end there with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this new year become the year that God transforms us, transmutes us into his own image and likeness. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.